Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Happy holidays for you. Memorial Weekend 2012. Guess what? I was cleaning off my desk this week and went through some things we got from the Synod gathering about a month ago. I found we got our church got this award, Bethesda Lutheran Church of Malmo, $10.43 per confirmed member that our church gave to World Hunger, to support World Hunger. And so they go through and hand out certificates to all, there were something like 30-some churches that got this out of the 150 in our synod. We were one of them, so congratulations. But this is called the Holy Cow Award, because when they announced you gave $10.43, everybody goes, "Holy cow!" So I'm going to present this to you on behalf of the World Hunger Appeal. Congratulations, you are recipients of the Holy Cow Award. You gave $10.43 per confirmed member.
Holy cow!
Very good. And congratulations. Actually, our church supports lots of good causes, and thank you for thinking of the less fortunate. Today is the day of Pentecost. Today is every bit as important as Christmas and Easter, because on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. It's only because of the Holy Spirit that we know who Jesus is. It's only because of the Holy Spirit that you're in church on a Sunday morning, May 27th, 2012. It's only through the Holy Spirit that has passed through the generations. People have taught and told the story of Jesus and God's love. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that you and I are here. If I hadn't had a mother and father and a grandmother and grandfather who whispered to me that, "Jimmy, you're special in God's eyes," I wouldn't be here. If you hadn't had some Sunday school teacher or some friend who said, "You know, God loves you," you wouldn't be here, because that's the Spirit of God that has come down and regenerates His life in us. And I hope you're sharing the Spirit of God every day. That's what our lesson is going to be about today, okay? The Holy Spirit. And so enjoy this Pentecost day. It's also a Memorial Weekend where you should read this little history lesson on page 5 on Memorial Day, how it came to be. So the next time you see the question on Jeopardy, you'll be able to answer it, okay? Anyway, I thought it was an eye-opener to me. But the services this afternoon are 2 o'clock at the Malmo Cemetery, 3 o'clock at the Lakeside Cemetery, if you'd like to pay your respects or participate in that. I think two other things. One is pictures. We're going to have a picture directory made. This is not just for members, if you're friends of the congregation. The worst thing, I guess one of the worst things of living here in Malmo, is we have area code 218, area code 320. This week we got phone books to Hector, Minnesota. Hector, Minnesota.
Where is it?
Yeah, Litchfield and Wilmer and New London and Spicer and... I found out, though, that there's about 10 Risenans that live over in Kakato that I never knew about. But anyway, we're putting this picture directory with phone numbers and addresses, and we have so many people, you know, you don't have to be members of the church, but if you'd like to get your picture taken and get a free copy with all of our phone numbers in the church and neighbors and so on, there's a sign-up sheet on the 28th, 29th, and 30th of June that we're going to take those pictures and... So sign up for that, okay? Otherwise, I think... Oh, Vacation Bible School helpers. If you haven't helped with Vacation Bible School, Ross, I'm looking for a partner. I might have to talk to you later. Vacation Bible School is always a wonderful time in our congregation. We get maybe 50, 60 kids. We got 50 or 60 adults. And talk about the Holy Spirit moving. The Holy Spirit, those kids learn about the love of Jesus. So if you'd like to participate in that, it's a nice, nice program. Let's begin our worship with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us safely to the beginning of this day. This day of Pentecost Sunday, where your Spirit stirred in the hearts of your disciples. We pray your Spirit might stir our hearts today, that we might be open to the leadership and guidance of that Spirit, that we might have new hearts to serve you, and new eyes to see the wonders of your creation, that we might boldly proclaim your love by our words and by our deeds, like your disciples did. And so, stir our hearts, Lord. Send their Spirit this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The congregation, please rise. Please turn to the call to worship. Page 1 of your bulletins. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's join in singing our opening hymn. Let's sing the first and last verse, first and second verse of 396. First and second verse. Please turn to the prayer for confession on page 1.
Let us join in
confessing our sins together. Pardon us, O Father, for ignoring your will as revealed by your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for following the desires of our own hearts and endeavoring to block out your still small voice of truth. Be merciful to us wherein we have failed you as a part of your church universal, and have withheld the progress of your kingdom on earth. Forgive us,
through Christ we pray.
Amen.
God of all creation has
entered our human existence in the person of Jesus Christ. Through him our
sinful condition has been given
new possibilities of faith and life.
By his death and
resurrection,
the price of our sin has been paid in
full,
and we stand
before God as new people. The Holy Spirit is present with us and in us
to give us power to live out this new life.
By the
Spirit we have life.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love
of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Mighty
God, you breathe life into our bones, and your Spirit brings truth to the world. Send us this Spirit, transform us by your truth, and give us language to proclaim your gospel. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior
and Lord. Lives and
reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one
God, now
and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we invite the Pell Bell Choir to sing
praises.
Scripture reading this morning is taken from the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost arrived, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
Then many saw what looked like tongues of fire spreading out, and each person there was touched by a tongue. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to talk in other languages, and the Spirit enabled them to speak.
There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious men who had come from every country in the world. When they hear this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers talking in his own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed,
"These men who are talking like this, they are all Galileans. How is it then that
Amazed and confused, they all kept asking each other,
"What does this mean?"
But others made fun of the believers, saying,
"These men are drunk."
Then Peter began to speak to the crowd. "These men are not drunk. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel spoke about. God says,
I will pour out my spirit upon all men. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams.
All the people of Israel then are to know for sure that it is this Jesus, whom you nailed to the cross, that God has made Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were deeply troubled and said,
"What shall we do, brothers?"
Peter said to them, "Turn away from your sins, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit."
Many of them believed this message and were baptized. About 3,000 people were added to the group that day.
Here ends the reading for
today. Let's join together in singing our sermon hymn, 752. There are, it's only two lines, so let's sing it through. We'll see how the Spirit moves us 3 or 4 times, okay? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes I wonder about this business called the Holy Spirit. You know, we try and direct it, or does it direct us? And I know we don't do a very good job of directing it, but I guess my goal as a pastor is to put us in a position where the Holy Spirit has a chance to move in our hearts and in our minds and through our lives. Last week, we had a year from last week, there was a big tornado going through North Minneapolis, I guess, in St. Paul. Down there, they also went through Joplin. A year ago, in that same week, there were 346 people killed because of EF5 tornado winds. 346 people killed a year ago, the same week. No one wants to be in the path of tornadoes or big winds. So today, as I think about how the Spirit moves and blows, and there was the rush of a mighty wind with these disciples, I wonder, you know, I don't think it was a tornado, but it was a big wind. In fact, one of my sayings in recent days is, windier than a preacher on a Sunday morning. Probably the best story of a tornado we know is a make-believe story, a work of fiction by a guy by the name of L. Frank Baum. You all know the story of a little girl named Dorothy and her little dog Toto. And when she landed, that house got picked up and blown down. She says, I don't think this is Kansas anymore. But that's a mighty adventure that Dorothy had. And I think those of us who allow the Spirit to blow through our lives, through our hearts, and follow that Spirit, we're going to have mighty adventures too. Our lesson that was read today talks about an adventure that the disciples had. No damage from this mighty wind, but the disciples didn't realize it at the time, but this wind would carry them on an adventure of a lifetime. It was an adventure that was both fascinating and frightening, delightful and dangerous, life-changing and life-surrendering. You've all heard the story from the time you were in Sunday school. This violent wind fills this house where the disciples were gathered. They seemed to be hiding from their persecutors. They didn't want the same thing to happen to them that happened to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit all of a sudden appears as tongues on their head, and they begin speaking as the Spirit enabled them in different languages. And these were just Galileans. These were fishermen. These were a lot like you, Mike. I mean, just common, ordinary folks. And they go out, and Pentecost is a celebration in Jerusalem. People from all over the then known world, different countries were there. And they start speaking in those languages. And everybody understood them. And they said, well, who are these guys speaking? How can they speak? They're just Galileans. It's kind of like maybe the United Nations, huh? General Assembly, where everyone puts on these headphones and someone translates the language. Well, these folks, they understand the language from these common, ordinary folks. And then they ask, what does this mean? What does this mean? That's a good question. For one thing, as I think about that, what does this mean? It means that God is at work there. Something's happening special that day. On the day of Pentecost. There's no other explanation for Pentecost. The wind, the tongues of fires, the crowd who heard the gospel in their own languages. This is a world-changing event, what's happened on this day that we're celebrating this morning. God was giving birth to a whole new movement. It's the birthday of the church. It's a movement that was destined to sweep across the then-known world and even to us today. I wonder about how this whole event happens. I wonder, is it coincidental that a miracle takes place at a time when Jews from every nation were gathered in Jerusalem? I don't think so. I don't think it's coincidental. This was the plan of God. God was preparing the way of the gospel to enter every land in the world. And Christianity today is a universal faith. And that's what God had in mind. I mean, Paul later on would write, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not just every Western knee, not just every Caucasian knee, not just every Bible Belt knee, but every knee on earth and under the earth, if you read the regular translation, will bow at the name of Jesus. And that's not just wishful thinking. It's a prophecy that's being even fulfilled as we speak today. I was reading there's something like 6.6 billion people in the world. 2.2, a third of the people are Christian today. Back in 1900, 80% of all Christians, of all the Christians in the world, lived in Europe or America. Today, it's only half of that. One-third. There's like 360 million people in Africa that are Christian. 480 million Christians are now in Latin America. There's over 100 million Christians in China. Most of them worship in underground movements, little house churches. They call it the three-self movement. Christianity is a worldwide universal movement. It's no accident, I don't think, that the Spirit fell on the church on that particular day when so many foreigners, so many people were in Jerusalem. I think this is God's plan all along. And the world's people will someday be all God's people. They'll know God's love, and they'll know God's hand in the world. Notice the second miracle that took place on this day. The change that occurred in the disciples. these guys are hiding for their life. They're hiding behind closed doors. All of a sudden, this Holy Spirit comes on them, and they're not afraid anymore. They march out through the doors, out into the streets, start preaching, start telling, testifying that basically who Jesus was and what he had done for them. And they're speaking in these different languages. And the onlookers, they start making fun of them. And there's cynics in every crowd. In fact, well, Jesse Ventura is a good cynic of the Christian church today. Why are you laughing, Dick? Yeah. Religion is a crutch for the weak-minded. We still get that monkey business. They said back then, they're drunk. Peter, he's the bold guy, huh? He says, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know what God has said? God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon you, all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Holy Spirit. He's quoting an earlier prophet, Joel. Peter spoke, the crowd listened. These guys were hiding in fear of their life. Now they're speaking, and now people are listening, and it's miraculous. And 3,000 people are baptized. But it wasn't just Peter who was transformed. I mean, last week or 2 weeks ago, we had the story of doubting Thomas the Doubter. Now we call him Thomas the Dynamic. The story about Thomas is, this is the story told, is that he ended up traveling and going to India. There he was martyred for his faith, but he started the church in India. Maybe the first mission church. He was killed for his preaching. Nearly all of these disciples testifying eventually paid the ultimate price. We talk about Memorial Day. We should remember these disciples. John MacArthur, in his book, The 12 Disciples, tells about the price that each one of these disciples paid. Peter was taken to Rome to testify in Emperor Nero's court. He was crucified. If you go to Rome, you'll see St. Peter of the Chains, a big cathedral. There's this huge cross that kind of sticks out of the front of the sanctuary, upside down with these huge chains. And Peter, being the guy he was, he was the boisterous. You all know about Peter. Peter was the one who walked on water and took his eyes off Jesus and started sinking. Peter was the one who, when Jesus said he had to be crucified, not on my watch, Peter says, and Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter's the one always at the front with the big mouth. Peter says, I'm not going to be crucified like Jesus. You can crucify me upside down. And so they've got this big cross in this cathedral, St. Peter of the Chains. This happened to the other 12. Philip was martyred by stoning at Heliopolis. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, it is said that Paul was there observing when they took stones and then just beat him to death with these stones. There's no reliable record of how Nathanael died, but one report says he was sailing on the Mediterranean to a house church in Ephesus, and they found out he was a Christian. They put him in a bag and drowned him. Another report says that he was crucified as well. All of these disciples, they changed. They decided to live for God. But because when you stand up for the little guy, when you stand up for the truth, sometimes you're crucified, and sometimes you're really crucified. Can there be any doubt that something special was happening on this day of Pentecost, something that could only have come from God? That's what's happening. The Spirit started the church. The Spirit of God started living in us. And people like you and me started standing up for the little guys, started standing up for the marginalized, the hurting, the lame, the sick. In fact, John, the disciple John, he's probably the only one. And Valerie and I had this ongoing discussion of whether John wrote the Gospel of John. Most theologians think John lived a good long life, but on his final days in about 98 AD, he is thought to be lifted into the church. And one phrase was constantly on John's lips, "My little children, love one another." It's the Lord's command. And if this alone be done, it's enough. Love one another. Something miraculous happened on Day of Pentecost. There's one last thing that I should mention. These were ordinary people who were used by God in an extraordinary way. None of these men were high-powered executives. None of them were entertainment superstars. None of them were government officials. These were just ordinary folks with ordinary dreams until the Holy Spirit fell on them and they changed. They were just like you and me. And when I think about that, I wonder what would happen if the Holy Spirit came down and touched you and me today. I don't know about these flames and what that's all about, but if there was a rush of a mighty wind, and if our hearts and our lives were changed by the Spirit, wouldn't you love to see the miracle that would take place in this church today? I mean, it could happen. I believe God is here. I believe His Spirit is here now. The disciples, they surrendered their lives. They surrendered everything they had to God that day. We need to pray that we do whatever it costs. God would use us to touch our family members, to touch our neighbors, to touch our co-workers, like the disciples did. We need to become new people, new hearts, new eyes, and pray that the Holy Spirit would work through our lives, just like the disciples. Let me give you an example. Most of you know I go out to Holden Village in the fall in the Washington Mountains. I met a pastor there the last few years called Ed Marquardt. He's from Seattle. He told the story of his men's group, how they invited a speaker into the men's group. The speaker was a young man named David Hughes. David Hughes was a blocking back for the Seattle football Seahawks, the blocking back. He came in and sat down just like we do on Thursday mornings, you know, 25, 30 guys. And Hughes told the men gathered there that he was more scared of talking to them than he was of in facing the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, right. He was got to be afraid of the Vikings. Yeah, that cast doubt on his testimony. But this is the story he told. This is the story David Hughes told. He said when he was 12 years old, his father was a cop in Seattle and was murdered, was shot by some robbers and died. And when they pull out all the plugs like they do, policemen came from all over the state and had this big entourage. When they buried David Hughes' father, David said, "I'm a man and I'm not going to cry." And he didn't cry. And he stood and he didn't cry. And he was strong and he didn't cry. And he's telling these guys now. He says, 14 years later, another cop was killed in the line of duty. And he was driving down the road and he saw this entourage. And he pulled over his SUV and got out and stood in front of it and took his hat off. He started crying like a baby. And things that he had held in for 14 years, he cried and cried and cried. And he looked at those guys around that table. And Marquardt, my friend, said, you know, he was glad he wasn't a professional with his words. David Hughes said he talked about the importance of reading the Bible and how that pulled him through. He talked about the importance of talking to God every day in prayer. He talked about worshiping God every day in a different way. He said that's the thing that pulled him through. We think we can stand on our own, he said, but we need God. We need His love. We need His care. We need to know what He wants us to do. And I think that's what happened on the day of Pentecost more than 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit fell on a bunch of untrained, uneducated Galileans, and they started living for God. They gave their lives to God. And I'm wondering, could that happen again? Could that happen again? I pray that the Holy Spirit will take this lesson and make it our lesson, make it our lives, so that we will know Jesus Christ as our Savior. So that we will know that all that we have and all that we are is a blessing from God. I pray that we will all be led by the Spirit to follow Him and to share His love with those we meet today and every day. That Spirit can move. That Spirit can. I've seen it. And it doesn't have to be the rush of a mighty wind or tongues of fire on your head. God will speak in that still, small voice if we listen. If we listen. Let's pray that God will hear us today. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing. Mine eyes have seen the glory, 890. Prayer on page 3. Let us pray together. In loving response to your gracious blessing, we come with the offering of our time and treasure, hope and healing to a world in need. Amen. Enlivened in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit, we pray for the life of the church, for those in need, and for all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for a silent prayer. Holy living God, pour out your Spirit upon your people. Inspire unity and mission throughout the church. Send us out to testify to the new life the risen Christ has shown us. Hear us, O God. Cover all of creation with your Spirit. Spark renewal in areas that have been damaged or destroyed. And make life spring forth in waters, fields, and forests. Hear us, O God. Send your Spirit into all forms of communication. Give words that will speak compassion and open ears to listen with care. Foster understanding among people of different nations and languages. Hear us, O God. Put your life-giving Spirit within weary bodies, hearts, and minds. Restore those who struggle with broken relationships, personal crisis, or poor health. We especially pray your healing hand might be with Wally Swenson, Dean and Linda Newman, Janine Breeswitz, Bob Vorlichek, and those others who we name in our hearts before you. Hear us, O God. Give your spirit of encouragement and strength to all who put the good of others before themselves, military personnel, emergency workers, advocates for the poor and aging. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day of Pentecost. We pray your spirit might stir in our hearts and in our lives, that we might be bold in our witness, and we might
be like your Son,
who gives his life that others might live fully.
We ask your blessing upon our family members, wherever they find themselves, and our friends. We ask your presence to be with all who
mourn the loss of loved ones. We thank you for this memorial weekend and pray for all the troops that have given the ultimate sacrifice and their families.
As we remember the witness of the saints, gather us into faithful communities
by your Spirit until the
day when your Spirit
gathers us all into your eternal reign. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Trusting in your abundant mercy, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray into your care, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God of all grace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
We'll invite our friend Jim to play taps. Let us take a moment of silence to remember those who have died before us.
Our closing hymn is 888.